As I was walking in, actually walking up the stairs while I go to get the microphone, today's lesson is going to be a little different. By the way, you might want to get out some paper and pen. You might want to make some notes. It's going to be some interesting things today. Because I've got so many lessons prepared now that I have not yet taught. And I don't even know which one he wants to do, you know, if any of them. I'm happy to just follow him through the service, whatever he wants. I said, Lord, you got to give me a clue. I don't know what to do today. So Alan, during his message, said half of the title of one of them. And he said, talking about the two species. There's two species. And that's part of the title. The title of today, except from that, I'm going, okay, I got it, Lord. I heard you. The title is Two Species, One Dead, One Alive. That's all there is on planet Earth. There's two species. One of them is dead. One of them is alive. And that'll make more sense to you as we get into today's lesson. Also, I mentioned a few weeks ago about, it's kind of like after all these years of praying, you know, you get revelations on this and that and this and that and different things. But now it's all of a sudden, it's like this big puzzle. You know, one of those puzzles with 10,000 pieces, tiny little pieces. And you're starting to get enough of it together where you say, okay, I kind of see the part over in the upper right corner. I kind of see what that is. And maybe over in the, on the left side, I see what that is. You still don't have the whole thing, but it's like certain parts of it are starting to come together. Well, that's kind of today's lesson too. And you'll know what I mean as we go through there. And to be honest with you, I thought, well, I'll try and always be honest. I don't know why I say that because I always try and be honest with you. Part of me was thinking this lesson today is not done yet. It's bread that's still in the oven. That's probably because the whole puzzle isn't finished yet. So I was kind of resisting doing this one today. Because no matter what you teach, I promise you, there's going to be people that's going to take it and twist it. And not even intentionally a lot of times. It's just where they are. They can't help it. You know, sometimes it's on purpose. But not usually, I don't think. But if he's saying, he's already warned me, he says, when I say the bread is done, you deliver it. It's not up to you, Gary, to decide. So we're going to do that today. But as I was walking up the steps to get the microphone, I heard this verse. He said, this is Matthew 13:52, if you want to. It's just, again, it's kind of describing today's lesson. Because some of it's going to be really old stuff that you've known for a long time. Some of it might be new to some of you, I think. Some of it might be heresy to some of you. They thought that about Jesus too, you know, and his disciples got up and left. But he sure didn't change the message. And he didn't go running after them. And he didn't apologize. And he said to the 12, there's the door if you want to go too. So when he says the bread is done, the bread is done. I'm going to deliver it. Apparently it's necessary for where we're going. But I never did read the verse, did I? Matthew 13:52 says, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. That very much describes today's message. You'll see, you'll understand as we go through it. Now, to start off today's message, I'm going to give you a paradox. Seemingly two opposing statements that came out of the mouth of Jesus. So you can look, they're both in Matthew. Turn to Matthew 8:21. And pinch between there and Matthew 22. And it's verse 32, so it's quite a ways over. Matthew 8:21. And another of his disciples, another of his what? Disciple. This is not somebody trying to trip him up. Another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me, that means allow me first, to go and bury my father, because Jesus is telling them to follow him. And he's going, well, okay, but let me go bury my father. In other words, when my dad dies and I bury him, then I'll follow you. But Jesus said, Jesus said unto him, follow me. That's a command. Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Okay. Now Matthew 22:32, and here he was talking to people trying to trip him up. The Pharisees and the scribes were trying to trick him. But Matthew 22:32 says, God says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. This young man said, my dad is alive. Let me wait until he's dead, and then we'll bury him. Then I'll follow you. But Jesus says, no, you let the dead bury their dead. And there he's talking about people that we would say are living. Let these living people, we would say, they're physically alive, aren't they? It's hard to bury the dead if you're not alive. But Jesus calls these living people on planet Earth, he calls them dead. Let the dead. He made no distinction between the ones that we would say are alive and the one that had died. He calls them both dead. He turns right around to the Pharisees. Now, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have been buried how long? They've been in the ground a long time, hundreds of years. But about them, he says, they're not dead, they're alive. And right there, you go walking off, scratching your head, speaking in tongues, you know. That's a good introduction for today's lesson. I'm just going to read you the first sentence before we get into the lesson from the prophecy that came through Pastor Bronk on December 12th called, It's You or Else, I Have No Plan B, December 12th, 2021. There is coming, this is the Holy Ghost saying, there is coming a redefining to humanity of what the church is and the true message of Christ. Now, for my part, last week's message about the seed is part of that. The Sunday night message that same day that I don't remember the title to is also part of that. And today's message is part of that. Because what the world thinks the church is not even what the church is. It's not a club. It's not a building. It's not something you can join. It's not an organization, really. It's not this. It's not that. That's more than this. But if I had to just take one sentence to try and tell somebody what the church is, well, the church is the body of Christ. It is literally, physically, his body on planet Earth. That's what the church is. Now, the message of Christ starts off for everybody. There's only one message to the sinner. What is it? Christ and him crucified. That's why Paul said to the Corinthian church, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech, which I do have for those that are mature. He says later in that chapter, I do have wisdom for those that are mature. But when I came to you, he didn't say this, you heathen outfits, you pagan bunch of devil worshipers. When I came to you, I only had one message, and that's Christ and him crucified. And that's really the only message that there is for the sinner. But see, and that's good. That's where you start, but that's not the whole message. Because the Lord says there's going to be a redefining of the message of Christ. Well, this one today is part of that, just to be honest with you. It is part of it. Okay, now we're ready to start the lesson. Y'all ready?
Hallelujah.
I texted Alan, by the way, after his message and told him I appreciate the correction. Because we're all growing. I could feel correction in it. I don't know if you could. See, when correction comes, you can get offended or you can get corrected. Well, I need correction. I don't know about you. And it was done with, he spoke the truth in love. Gary, I didn't feel no correction. You need to listen again. Till you get it. You can turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. We're going to be all over the place. So get your little fingers limbered up. 1 Corinthians 15:22. The title again, two species. There are two species. One dead, one alive. So 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, I'm going to stay real close. Today, this is my dreaded yellow pad. I'm going to stay real close with these notes today. Whatever side trips he allows me to take, we'll do that. When Christ died on the cross, he most certainly did not die for his own sins, did he? He didn't have any. So when Christ died on the cross, he died, really, in the place of Adam. And I'm not talking about just the original man, or even man and woman, Eve. Not just them. He died in the place of the whole species of Adam. The day Christ died, so did the species of Adam. He did not die for himself, did he? He wasn't dying for his own sins, was he? Who was he dying for? Adam. The whole species. Every person who had ever been born, and all those who ever would be born of Adam, that includes me, that includes you, died in Christ on the cross that day from God's point of view. The whole species of Adam died. I'm saying it again and again. It's so important you get it. From God's point of view, the day that Christ died on the cross, from God's, it's like a gavel came down in heaven. Adam is dead. And he means the whole species. It did not matter that some of those of the species of Adam were worse sinners than others. I mean, from the human perspective, don't we look at it that way? But see, the Bible plainly tells us there was none righteous, no, not one. Big sinner or little sinner, parentheses, from the human perspective. But even Jesus said, this woman's been forgiven much. Okay? So big sinner or little sinner, they were all sinners. And that day, they were all judged guilty. And in Christ, they were executed. They died in Christ. So the species of Adam has already been judged guilty and executed for their sins in Christ. God declared all of those who are in Adam to be dead. Now, why did he do that? So he could have mercy on them all. So he could have mercy on them all. It'll make more sense in a minute. Now, go to Galatians 3:22 as a verification of those statements. Galatians 3:22. See, some people, they could take snippets out of today's message and run off with it and preach radical grace from it. It's easy for me to see how they can get off into radical grace. I thank God for Dave Roberson, who taught us, pray in the Holy Ghost, how to meditate the Scriptures, leave everything in context. Don't try and rush anything. Don't try and force any revelation. Just allow the truth to grow in you by the Holy Spirit. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Let the Holy Spirit build truth in you. Because I can see where it's easy to get off on a lot of tangents that's happened over the years. Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture hath concluded, how many? All under sin. Why? That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. See, all who are in Adam died. But we started with 1 Corinthians 15:22. See, all who are in Christ are made alive, quickened to new life. Well, where did those people come from? They came from the dead species of Adam. God has brought life from the dead. God has brought life from the dead. God is not creating, quote, new people today. He is generating sons and daughters from the dead species of Adam. Did you get that? It is important that to be in Adam, you have to be born of woman, born of water. I'll show you the verse in a minute. To be in Christ, you have to be born of woman and of the Spirit. Look at John chapter 3, verse 5 for that. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," notice, "and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Isn't it interesting that he includes water there? The reason that's so important, I didn't understand that for years. You just read it and pray in tongues until the Holy Spirit starts putting some pieces of the puzzle together for you. For years, I could understand why Jesus was called the only begotten Son of the Father, the only begotten Son, for a long time. Because during his ministry, before he died on the cross, he was the only human on planet Earth with the life of the Father in him. So I knew in that sense, he was the only begotten. But then I think about me. Later, I'm begotten. I've been born of God. Begotten just means born, doesn't it? You know, so I'm begotten. I'm born. But you'll find the Bible never refers to us that way, really. It refers to Jesus as the only begotten. And what in the world? Well, what you do is you keep praying. See, God is not begetting new people directly born of His Spirit. There's only one of those. There's only ever been one of those. And His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only person ever begotten directly by the Holy Spirit on planet Earth. I'll show you what I mean. So what about Adam? Hang on. Just hang on with me. Don't leave the building yet. At least let me finish before you leave. See, he is still the only begotten Son of God because he was conceived directly by God, the Holy Ghost, in the womb of Mary. And that's John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, there it is once, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the, here it is again, only begotten Son of God. Okay, you ready for some? That's in one part of the puzzle. Let's look at another part of the puzzle. Go to the bottom left of the puzzle with me for a moment. Y'all aren't laughing. That was pretty good. See, Adam was not born of woman. He's called the Son of God in Luke's genealogy. He is a son of God, but Adam was not born of woman. He wasn't born of the water, was he? In fact, actually, if you want to know the truth of it, Adam wasn't born. Adam's body was built by God from the earth. He formed a body for him. Then God breathed the very breath of life, not oxygen, but from life from within himself, God breathed life into that body. Adam is called the Son of God in Luke's genealogy, and he is. But Adam was created. He was not born. And he was certainly not born of water. Adam had no mother. Adam has no belly button. He doesn't. And neither does Eve. They're the only ones that don't. But see, this only begotten Son, Jesus, he was born of woman. When it says water, it's talking about when the woman's water breaks, you know. He was begotten directly. He's the only one. Not even Adam was begotten the same way Jesus was, directly by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was literally born, not created. My feet. He was and always will be the only one ever begotten directly by God in the womb of a woman. Only begotten Son of God. Now, he's more than that now. You'll see that in a minute. Lived a perfectly righteous life, the only person ever to keep the law. Never sinned even once. Thank God for him. But he became sin as our substitute. Now, things old and new. I'm not belaboring old points because this ought to be like Salvation 101. Okay. He became sin as our substitute. So on that cross now, he died both physically and spiritually. That'll get you thrown out of a lot of churches, but it's the truth anyway. He became dead like us. Pastor Dave said it this way, and when you can't improve on it, you just steal it from Pastor Dave. Dave said, the captain of our salvation, he had to sail into our spiritual death. He says, if you want to get out of here, get on the ship with me, and I'm going to sail you out. But he had to enter into our spiritual death to come get us. But when Jesus was quickened from death to life, in the mind of God, the very instant that God quickened Jesus from death to life, you know, Jesus was in the heart of the earth, we're told. He told us where he was. 3 days and nights, I got to be in the heart of the earth. When God spoke, this day have I begotten thee. When God spoke that again and he went from death to life, in the mind of God, so did all of us. So did all of us. No matter if we were alive at the time or 2,000 years later, in the mind of God, we were quickened, raised, and seated with Christ at the same time he was. Even though, see, my brain, I wasn't born for another 2,000 years, doesn't matter. I was quickened in the same way that everybody, this whole species of Adam died. God saw people that weren't even born on the planet yet. But in God's mind, the whole species died. We can understand that easier, I think. But see, in God's mind, he knows all of us who will ever be alive in Christ. As far as he's concerned, we were all quickened, raised, and seated at that same instant when Christ was raised from the dead. Because that's so important, I'm going to read it the way that I wrote it. Look at it this way. When Christ died on the cross, he died as Adam. The whole species of Adam died in Christ on that day, and it did not matter if you had lived prior to that time, were alive at that time, or were born on earth thousands of years later. All of the species of Adam died when Christ died on the cross. In one instant, the entire species died. In the same way, when Christ was quickened from death to life, and when he was raised from the dead, the whole species of Christ rose from the dead at that same instant, as far as God's concerned. For those who had faith in the coming of Christ, it didn't matter if they'd physically died thousands of years earlier. That would be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of the Old Testament saints that believed in the coming Messiah. Or if they were believing and alive at the time of Jesus, or like you and me, were born thousands of years after the resurrection of Christ, in God's mind, the whole species of Christ was raised from the dead when Christ was raised from the dead. Now, I got here. I remember years ago, Jim Martin called me one day. This was a little, many years ago. Jim is it's actually Dr. Jim Martin. He doesn't really like for us to promote that, but he's a very smart fellow, and he really does a lot of good research. I remember maybe 20 years ago, maybe 15, 20, might have been 20 years ago, long time ago, he called me. He was so excited, like a little kid. He just discovered something. And he was, Gary, but he found this out from the Greek. He found it out from the Greek language. And he's going, he called me so excited about something he'd found out. He said, do you know that the tenses of the Greek in Ephesians, as far as God concerned, you know what those tenses are saying, Gary? No, I don't, Jim. Tell me. He says, the language says, all of us believers, even us today, were quickened, raised, and seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father at the same time that Christ rose from the dead. And we both rejoiced at that truth, but at that time we only knew it from the tenses of the Greek language. But see, now we know it by revelation knowledge, because we're understanding the puzzle a lot better. I keep saying it over and over because I'm a good teacher. Well, Paul said he magnified his gift. See, teachers know you don't get it by hearing it once. You didn't learn your multiplication tables by saying them one time. You didn't learn the alphabet by singing it one time. So I'm going to say it again. When Christ died, when he died on that cross, I say it again, the whole species, past, present, and future of Adam died. When Christ was raised from the dead, and really more than that, when Christ was quickened from death to life, that'll get me thrown out. See, it's not good until it'll get you thrown out. But when Christ literally was quickened from death to life and raised from the dead, as far as God's concerned, the whole species of Christ was raised from the dead at the same time. So in that single event, or in that 3 days, on the cross, one species died. At the resurrection, another species came alive. Paul fully, now you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul, fully understanding this, wrote this passage we're about to read here. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 17. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then how many were dead? Then we're all dead. Let the dead go bury their dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, Christ is no longer the Jesus of Nazareth that they knew before the resurrection. They knew that man. That man whose spirit was from God, but whose body was from Adam. Now that's Jesus of Nazareth, the man. I know he is God in the flesh. You don't need to write me no letters. I know that. But the point of it is, he laid his divinity aside. He did not do anything as God. If he did, we're certainly disqualified. But he is the pattern set forth for us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You understand that? So the man they knew, Jesus of Nazareth, born of woman, they knew him. Spirit was from God. His body was passed down to him through the generations from Adam. I put in parentheses, genetics passed down through the lineage all the way to Mary. Paul is saying, we knew that man. That man born in a fleshly body. We knew him, Jesus of Nazareth. But see, that man died on the cross. He died both physically and spiritually. And he died in faith, believing the promise made to him from the Father. And this is from the Old Testament. You don't have to turn to this one. We've said it so many times. Psalm 16:10. Here's the promise. And boy, he better have faith in this promise. God better come through, or he has no way out of hell. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Boy, that's what he was hanging on to. Because the man, as a man, he has no power to get himself out. He has authority, but no power. When you look that up and says, I have power to lay my life down, I have power to raise it up, it's not dunamis there, it's exousia. He had authority to do it, but the power was of God. I know. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In another place it says, my flesh. He was, now get this, there was a lot of people raised from the dead before Jesus. Isn't that right? Lazarus was raised from the dead in the Old Testament. Several people raised from the dead. Go ahead and look at Colossians 1:18. Because Jesus was more than just raised from the dead. He was birthed from death to life. He was birthed the second time. First, he was birthed from the womb of Mary. Now, he's being birthed from the realm of death. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting, but anyway. I know you're listening. It's okay. And it's okay to have a puzzled look on your face. I wasn't even sure this was ready, you know. Colossians 1:18, talking about Jesus. He is the head of the body. The church, who is the beginning, now notice, the first what? The first born from the dead. That in all things he might have the preeminence. He was birthed to new life by the same Holy Spirit that had first conceived him in the womb of Mary. He is the first person to be born, birthed from the dead. It's the beginning of a new species. That never existed before. The wording is precise for a reason. He's not the first person raised from the dead. He is the first person born from the dead. My feet. But see, now, he is not the only begotten. Well, he is in the sense that we talked earlier. He will forever be the only one ever begotten directly by God in the womb of a woman. Okay? But notice now, see, do I have the verse? Yep, coming up. We'll get there. He's not the only one born of God this time. See, Jesus is the last Adam. That's 1 Corinthians 15. Look it up. Jesus is the progenitor of a new species that did not exist before. This is a species of people quickened to new life, born again from the dead species of Adam. Now look at Romans 8:29. Yeah. See, God spared you today because the other series, the other lesson that I have is on fasting. So he spared you. Whew, I heard somebody go, whew. But he had Alan say, two species, and then I knew. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the first, what? Firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn among many brethren. As just in the same way that the first man Adam and his wife were commanded by God to go be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, so the last Adam and his wife, parentheses the church, is to go forth and populate the earth with people born of God's Spirit. It's Genesis all over again. It's a much bigger message than just Christ and Him crucified. He is generating a species. We're in the process of total restoration. Now this is going to go on for a long time. Even after Jesus comes back, there's a 1,000-year reign. But eventually there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That new earth will be an earth that sin has never touched. And you get to live there. If you're in Christ, because in Christ you've been born of God's Spirit. We're going to get a new body to live on that planet with. I'm looking forward to a body that when I say, let's go sin, it says, no. Let's have an extra donut. Nope. Half a donut is all you get anyway. I don't know how it's going to work. But I know that body has righteousness in it, and I know this one does not. The one I'm wearing now, this body will do anything I let it do. It has no moral compass at all. If it feels good, do it. And if it feels really good, let's do it a lot. That's the moral code of the body. I got to read that paragraph again. Is that okay? See, he is the firstborn. Yes, sir. Previews of coming attractions. Y'all like previews? I like to get to the movie early enough to see the previews. I don't know. I just like them. If you can ever find a movie that you can go watch these days. I can't even remember the last time we went and saw a movie at a theater. And we've walked out on a few within the first 10 minutes too. Okay, I'm not going to teach on this today, but previews of coming attractions. How did Dave say that? Now here's deep calleth unto deep. You ready? He said, I'm not sure you're ready. Yeah, Dave would, he'd milk it. I'm not sure you're ready. This is deep. I mean, deep. You know. I'm not sure. Okay. And he'd, like getting ready to deliver this revelation, you know. Here it is. You ready? Romans 8:29 comes after Romans 8:26. I did it. See, if you really leave it in context, really the verse right before this, is the verse often quoted out of context? All things work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Which one's before that? The Holy Spirit makes intercession for you according to the will of God. What comes before that? When you know not what to pray as you ought, the Holy Spirit and so forth. It's all talking about transformation. Even this verse, God made a decision. That word predestinate, see, there's like Alan's message this morning, the natural mind and well-meaning people trying to understand it with the natural mind have run off and made whole denominations that God never said. All that really means is, hey, you can tell it from Genesis 1. What decision did God make that man was going to be in the image of? If we went to Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, three times in two verses, and God made man in the image of God, in the image of God made he them, male and female made he them. Three times in two verses, he tells you. What was his decision before creation? This predestinate just means it's a decision he made before he created the world that he's never going to change from. Man will be in the image of God. And Jesus is the express image of God. And that's why he is conforming us to that same image. Well, previews. I am trying. And he's not giving up on you. I don't care how bad you messed up this week. I don't care how bad you messed up. He has not given up on you. Alan told a story, I think it was last Sunday, where a friend of his had tied a horse to a pole. And the guy was gone. He wasn't even there at the house. The horse had just tied to a pole. So he calls the guy. Say, hey, I think you made a mistake. There's nobody here, but your horse is tied to this pole. He said, no, it's not a mistake. He said, that horse has been rebelling against me. I tied him to that pole so he can fight all he wants to and find out he's not going to win. That pole is never going to quit. He said, God has tied you to a pole like that. It's called the love of God. And I don't care how much you rebel and kick and scream and try and get away. He has tied you to his love. And he will not let you go. God. I gave Alan credit the first time. Come on. You know that's mine now. I'm preaching that. That's good, isn't it? Well, God, his decision before the creation of the world, he made a decision. Man shall be in the image of God. He's not changing from that. That's all it is. Boy, man fell from that image. But God's in the process. We're in a certain phase. In your spirit, you've been regenerated in that image. Now, your body certainly has not. Our mind has not. But that's where Romans 12:2 comes in. We can renew the mind. But it's like God looked at our bodies and went, even though I'm God, even I can't do anything with that. I just declare it dead. You just have to mortify. I'll give you a new one later. But during this dispensation, you're going to have to wear this one. And really, that's where fasting comes in, but we're not teaching on that today. Fasting is a great tool. It's a boot camp tool. You can start a war with your emotions. I'll tell you real quick. Oh, I serve God. I will lay down my life for Jesus. Yes, Lord, if they come through with AK-47s and I'll be the first one to step forward and I'll say, I'm a disciple of yours. I'll do that, Lord. But can you do without a hamburger for lunch? No, I can't do that. Fasting is a great tool where you will find out whose will is stronger. Yours or your body's. Okay. I want to read this paragraph again. Actually, we're on the last page. Y'all can start rejoicing if you want. I hope you're liking it. This kind of stuff heats my chili, floats my boat, spins my prop, blows my skirt up. Woo! You know, when your skirt gets blown up. Woo! You know, sorry. Refreshing. I've never worn a skirt. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm just saying it gets me going. Thanks for the clarification. Let's read Romans 8:29 again. It's just too good. It's too good. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. I'm going to say it. He made a decision he will never change from. He made a decision to conform each and every one of us to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. If there's a firstborn, doesn't it stand to logic? There's a secondborn and a thirdborn and a fourthborn. And my numbers, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him what my number was. Not that it matters. So let me read the paragraph. He is the firstborn of many brethren. As the first man, Adam, and his wife, Eve, were commanded to go and replenish the earth, so the last Adam and his wife, the church, the bride, is to go forth and populate the earth with people born of God. These children of God all come from one place. They all come from the dead species of Adam, because he's not directly begotting anybody. No, they're all quickened to life from the dead species of Adam. See that? Yes, sir. I'm just going to tell you now. That's why loving them is so important. I don't know a whole lot about that yet. See, when it says, for God so loved the world, he loves that sinner. The one that slapped you on the face, compelled you to walk an extra mile and took away your goods by force, called you a hater and a bigot and everything else. Jesus knew all that. He says, my Father wants that man, and I'm going to die for him. We've got a lot yet to receive concerning the love of God. I like how Alan said it today, the pinnacle of human love is still darkness. And it can't touch God's love, who is light. It's good stuff. Go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. I remember years ago when Sue and I were driving to Florida in the early days in the 90s. And at that time, there was a song, We Are the Children of the World, and there were these billboards just every now and then. And on the billboard, it showed the faces of young people, maybe teenagers, young people, every color that you can imagine, black, white, brown, Asian, American Indian, East Indian, every kind of ethnicity you could imagine, a whole crowd of people. And the caption was, we are all the children of God. Well, that's just not true. We are all the creation of God. God loves everybody. But Galatians 3:26 tells you who the children of God are. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If we went to John, 1 John chapter 5 right now, it would say, he who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life. One species is alive. One species is dead. And that's the only two species that there are on planet Earth. You're going to like this. Side note, when the whole species of Adam died in Christ, well, why did they die? Because God the judge, he judged them all to be sinners. And it didn't matter the depth of sin that they fell to. So the serial killer and the little white lie teller, I could have put soccer mom, I'm trying to draw an image. The serial killer, ooh, from a human point of view. Oh, yeah, he definitely broke the law. Hey, that guy needs to die. But see, it didn't matter whether it's him or the little white lie teller, the little soccer mom tells little white lies. They both died in Christ the same. There was no difference in their judgment. There was no difference in their execution for their sin in Christ. They were executed in Christ. See, you can turn there if you want to. James, let's go ahead and turn there. James 2. We're going to get out early anyway. James 2 and verse 10. I remember when I thought this was so unfair. And that was a long time ago. But James 2:10. I hear pages turning. I'm glad that I'm hearing pages turn. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And I used to think that is so unfair. How in the world are you putting Hitler in the same boat with the soccer mom who tells a little white lie? That just seems so unfair to me. How can the serial killer and the soccer mom be sentenced to exactly the same condemnation of death? It just didn't seem to make sense to me. Now it does. See, what we thought was unfair was actually the love of God. He put them all under the same condemnation of death. so that he can have mercy on them all through faith in Jesus Christ. Dave was so right when he would say God was holding out salvation to Hitler right to his last breath. And Hitler could have been saved like anybody else can be saved. Because God has condemned them all. The whole species has been judged and executed so that they can be quickened to new life by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul understood that, and he said the same thing concerning the unbelieving Jews during his lifetime. So go to Romans 11. You know, that passage starts out, Paul is just in agony. He said, I'd be willing. And he says, the Holy Spirit bears witness that what I'm saying is the truth. He says, I would be willing to suffer hell for all eternity if my kinsman, the Jew, could be saved. That's quite a statement. I don't have that kind of love in me yet. I love Harry back there, but Harry, I ain't dying for you, Dan says. Especially if you're a Christ, you know, hater, and you know what I mean. Like they were persecuting Paul, trying to put the man to death, stoned him, and did everything else. And he says, "I'd be willing to go to hell for all eternity if those guys could be saved, my brethren, the Jew." That kind of love's got to be in me. Anyway, so here he says near the end of his discussion. Romans 11, verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief. He's still talking about the Jews. The Jews and the Gentiles. That he might have mercy upon all. That's why if you offend in one little point, or if you're a serial killer, they're both sinners. I want to count them both sinners. So both of them can be saved through faith in my son, Jesus Christ. And of course, from the human perspective, there's a difference, and we're supposed to make a difference. Jesus understood that this woman has been forgiven much. She loves much. Okay. But what I thought was so unfair was really God having mercy, going, I don't care what you did. Listen, I don't care what you've done. I don't care. Christ has already died. You already have been executed when Christ died on the cross. Your sin has already been judged. The execution has already happened. You've already died in Christ. But the promise is this. You can be reborn to new life if you have faith in Christ Jesus. He will quicken you right at this moment from death to life. Let's do this. There may be somebody watching that you've never really given your life to Jesus. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. I hope you see that from the scriptures. Maybe you've just did a little bit. Maybe in your mind you've done a lot. It doesn't matter. He counted the whole species under sin so that every single one can be born again. So just say this with me, Father. I have sinned. I can't save myself. I believe that you sent your son to die in my place. I know Jesus paid the price for my sin. I hear it and I believe it today, Lord. Lord, with all of my heart, I ask you to forgive me. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me a new person. I want to live for you now, Jesus. Take me as your own. From this day forward, God, you are my Father. You are my Father. And I am your child. Lead me how you would have me go. In Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, praise God. So Romans 11, verses 32 and 33 again. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Isn't that wonderful? Now we understand James 2:10. The person keeps the whole law but offends in one point is just as guilty as the serial killer. So God just executed them all in Christ. Talk about a clean slate. The price has already been paid. And if you'll believe that, if you'll believe in the Son, if you believe in Christ and Him crucified, you'll be born again. And you become a child of God, and you'll get to live on a new planet one of these days. Hallelujah. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Sing, please. He's just asking you to come home. Didn't teach it today on the prodigal son, but the prodigal always loved that prodigal even while he was out in the world. You know what he said about him? He said, "This, my son, this." He's talking about Adam. The whole species is talking about you. "This, my son, was dead. But see, when you receive Christ, you come home." He said he was dead, but he is alive again. The Father's ready to receive you today. If you prayed that prayer, you're back in the Father's house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. In this season, when I'm done, I have to be done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know why this, but receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit was a monumental thing in mine and Sue's life. It made such a difference. God tremendously helps you with the new birth, and He puts a new conscience in you, and you'll know right from wrong. But the Bible says in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit also helps us with our weaknesses. Now, if you have never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "Ask and you'll receive." It's just that simple. Just ask, and the Holy Spirit will come. You'll start to receive. There'll be a trembling maybe of the lips or your tongue or something. And it's Him wanting to pray and make intercession for you. So as a point of contact, all of us just join our faith together. And for those that aren't here today, and maybe if you are here today and never received the Holy Spirit, I pretty well know everyone here though. If you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, this is your day. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you're born again. You're ready now to receive. And just say it like this. Father, say it with me, church. Father, I'm asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that if I ask, you will give. Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I expect to speak with other tongues right now, as the Holy Spirit gives me the utterance. Now just let Him have your tongue. It won't sound like mine. Mine didn't sound like mine in the beginning. Don't look here. It doesn't come out of the mind. It comes out of your spirit. Just let the sound come. Shita labrako maque. Freko makusan de lebreko ma. Hola la que cayandera la kuma shilequa. Fronda la maquari andori tite de cayandera. The Holy Spirit also helps us. Helps us with our weaknesses. He'll help you. He'll help you. Fronda la maqua. You can pray in tongues anytime you want to, for as long as you want to. Because the Holy Spirit is always ready. He's always ready. He'll pray. He'll pray. He'll pray. If you were born again today, filled with the Holy Spirit today, contact the prayer center. Also, Dave's book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of the Power, is available at daveroberson.org. It's available in PDF format. You can download it. It's the best book on how to walk with God that I know about. It's also available on Kindle through Amazon for free. That's my personal favorite. I like to have it on Kindle. Thank you, Father. All right, I feel a release. I think that's enough to digest today. I think you might want to process some of this. Okay? Some of it's old, some of it's new. But he's putting this big, giant puzzle. I already know the image. I just don't know what exactly it looked like. I know it's Christ. Christ in us. But boy, I can see the pieces, parts of it coming together so clearly now. So the last thing is, I'll read it'll be the first thing. There is coming a redefining to humanity of what the church is and the true message of Christ. It begins with Christ and Him crucified, but it's a lot bigger message than that. If I don't stop, I'll just start preaching again. Father, I thank you for what you've done here today. Father, thank you for bringing us along in our understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for Alan's message today. I'm going to have to hear it again too, Lord. Father, thank you for what you're doing in us. We need correction. We're not fighting you. We're trying not to be the horse tied to the pole. But we sure want to be right next to your love all the time and not kick against you. Father, help us in Jesus' name. Amen.